Back from a quick trip to Ramona for another Rumble. I'm Schmitty, and this is Talkin' Schmidt. This is episode 94, and I got a good one for you today as I sit down with one of the greats, Alicia Lee. Alicia grew up in El Segundo and started skating with the big dogs at an early age. She got sponsored by Osiris and rode for 8th Street before joining Hoopla and running with Mimi and the girls for a few years until the day came to join Navs and the boys at Creature. I got to know Alicia from her and Lizzie's frequent visits to SF throughout the years, and then during my coverage of the ladies' contests and filming a part with Lizzie, we became closer, started talking pizza parties, boba tea, slob airs. But I never in all my years knew she was a Rubik's Cube aficionado.
When I was 10 years old, I got a Rubik's Cube, and it came with like instructions in the box. And I literally memorized the instructions. It took me a week to solve a Rubik's Cube for the first time.
Just a heads up, everyone. Next Tuesday, October 27th, I will be taking off. No podcast next Tuesday. I need to observe my birthday. The executive director has a special trip planned for us to drive up the coast to an undisclosed location, get massages, burn candles, look at the stars, and try to get some much-needed R&R. If you want to still participate in supporting the show, it would be a kick-ass birthday present if you decide to jump on TalkinSchmidt.com and buy a t-shirt. I'm trying to get inventory down so I can launch a new line around Thanksgiving. So yeah, hashtag buy a shirt on Schmitty's birthday for the win. Skate shops, I got your back, and now you have mine. As you can see, the stickers behind me are growing. On the left, all the skate shops that I've got stickers from. If you aren't on there, all you gotta do is send me a sticker and you will be. I appreciate you all, whether you carry my gear or not, and I know how important you all are to skateboarding. So big love to all y'all. That's Lotties, Ignition, Solstice, Backdoor, Deluxe SF, Atlas, Skateworks, Slappy's Garage, Classic, Kingpin, Crown, 510, No Comply, Black Market, Impact, Holistic. I see you and your hard work. Respect. Okay, well, before we get started, I found this raw footage from 2013 of my next guest skating the Berkeley vert ramp. It was early on when I started filming with Alicia and Lizzie, and I wanted to make a video of them to the song, Bye Felicia. Wait, excuse me, what did you say?
I have to say, you have a great smile.
Thank you, thank you. Wow. Hope you enjoy.
This is Alicia Lee, and you're watching Talkin' Schmidt.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Here we go again.
Just giving up the old cause turn.
All big dogs in. Schmitty. 96 times, Schmitty.
Thanks, Schmitty.
You going? Schmitty.
Talkin' Schmidt.
That's about to go to the hospital, bitch.
I just shit my pants, lad.
Your Rolodex is fucking deep.
It's right. About the one.
Who is this guy? Who's this tough shit?
What's up?
We're tastemakers.
Come on, Schmitty, what the fuck?
I'm here for James Smith. Yeah!
All right, in an ever attempt to reach out to the ones, I've been playing text tag with our next guest for a minute, and I'm very excited to catch up and bring to you some of her vibes. She's an all-around ripper, a scholar, and at times my vert coach. Please welcome the skater formerly known as Alicia Brigado. This is Alicia Lee.
Hi.
What's up?
Not much, honestly. Just chilling today.
Where are you?
Off skating. I'm in Oceanside. I'm at home. This is a tea, by the way. It's not a beer.
This is a La Croix, by the way.
It's my leftover tea from yesterday that I got with Lizzie.
Mine's pamplemousse. Who do you live with people?
Yeah, I have one roommate. Her name's Jeanette. She's pretty awesome. We've been living together for like a year now.
Okay. How's the Oceanside?
It's good. Skating Prince every week and hanging out with homies. You know, not too much during quarantine, but
yeah,
something's going on.
Do you got some cute masks?
No cute ones. Actually, my mom got me one that's like kind of cool. It has like a design on the front. It's like a mouth or something.
Uh-huh.
But I never wear it. I usually just wear like these masks that 187 gave me. And yeah, they fit my face better. So I always use those.
Dirt Nasty has one that just blends into his face and it has like a mustache and it looks so, it looks just like it's that dude, Dirt Nasty, Simon Rex. You don't know him?
No, I don't. Should I?
He's like a B or C level actor that he was in Scary Movie, but he also has like a rap career.
What happened to your queer party friends?
I got a gold chain. I'm on cocaine. I'm like, yo, man. What? I'm rolled in straight from Oakland, holding my dick like a U.S. Open trophy. What up to hyphen? Y'all don't know me. Dirt Nasty, ass cheeks, spread wide, G-string to the side. One drink, Cavassier, two drink, vodka straight, three drink, I'm in the sink, throwing up on my brand new mink coat, and I'm doing coke. Y'all can't hold my donkey broke, now call the Pope, pray for me, go Rolls Royce with your lady ding. I lived through the 80s. And shit was crazy. Everybody wanna know my name. Bring the pain and pop the champagne. Every girl wanna hold my chain. When I fuck their brains out on the Mars.
Got a gold chain.
Like it was 1980.
I'm on cocaine.
Like it was 1980.
I'm like, yo, man.
Like it was 1980.
It sure does seem that way to me. And tell your girl to stop paging me.
Okay. I feel like maybe, yeah, if I saw a photo. Maybe I yeah, would.
You might want to get into a little Dirt Nasty. It might liven up your life.
Okay.
Yeah. Download his Spotify. Yeah. Was it? It was like, ooh, it was 1980. Spotify. That's the jam. Let's. Okay. I want to find out some stuff about you because there's a lot I don't know. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Torrance, California, and I grew up in El Segundo.
Till when?
I went to grade school in El Segundo, and I didn't leave until I went to college, so until I was 17.
Is your family still in El Segundo?
Yeah, my family's still there. My mom works there, and my siblings and my cousins, they all go to school in El Segundo.
Have you ever heard the joke, I left my wallet in El Segundo?
Yeah, I usually get that when I tell people I'm from there.
Right.
A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure I'm not the first. Damn it. Is that where you discovered skateboarding, though? It was in El Segundo?
I actually, the first skate park I ever went to was Upland. My parents, when I was young, they bought a house out in San Bernardino. So I grew up skating like in the Badlands and stuff. But
damn.
I still went to school in El Segundo because my mom worked in the city there. And so we didn't want to change school districts. So I technically lived at my grandparents' house growing up, but my parents still had a house like a couple hours away.
So did you see Salba and those guys like at a young age?
Yeah, I grew up skating with Salva and his brother Mickey.
Mickey
used to go skate my local park, Montclair, like every day. He's
a ripper.
He taught me rock and rolls and stuff. I remember there was this one day we were at the skate park and I was trying to do rock and rolls on a quarter pipe and he just took me out to the parking lot. He was like, hey, like he put me in front of like a parking block and showed me like how to rock over it. And it really helped, like, doing, like,
the teeter,
the transition and rocking over the coping.
No way.
Yeah. So he used to skate the local park all the time, and I'd see him there. And I didn't even realize, like, who he was when I was young, you know? Obviously, my dad knew him, but I didn't really realize the extent of, like, how cool he was.
Was your dad into skateboarding?
Yeah. So my dad got me into skating because I saw him riding out front one day when we were living in an apartment. And then, I just asked for a board for my birthday.
Do you remember what your first board was?
Yes, I want to say it was like a no-name brand or something. It was just a random board from like Big Five. And it was yellow and black. And I had independent trucks on it and like some old OJ wheels, something like that. And I put all my Sailor Moon and Powerpuff Girl stickers all over it. And my mom, actually, I found out a couple years ago, I was like looking for my first skateboard ever. And she told me that she left it on the street for someone to take. And I was kind of sad about it. I was like, what? If I were to keep any board, like, that might have been the one.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
Dang. Do you remember getting like an actual pro board, like somebody's name on it?
No, because for the longest time I would just ride World Industries or Termite boards.
Oh, just team boards or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
God, this sounds like really lame. I'm trying to think of what my first pro board was.
Were like right out of the gates, were you going to the skate park? Did you kind of learn to skate at skate parks, like at Upland and Montclair and stuff?
Yeah, I grew up going to skate parks and stuff. And then I used to like jumping off of launch ramps and skating my little flat bar in front of my house when I was growing up. But I don't know, at some point I just really took to transition skateboarding, and that's all I wanted to do. Especially like, because I started doing contests when I was super little. And so maybe when I was like 11, I was just telling myself, oh, I'm just going to like practice skating bowls and stuff, because that's like what I want to compete in anyways. And then I kind of just, got sidetracked with bowl skating and all that.
So you were skating like vert contests as a kid?
Maybe not vert ramp contests, but like
bowls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was skating like the combi pool party when I was like 10 or 11.
Were you competing against boys?
Yeah, I used to compete in like the castle contest, if you know what that is.
Yeah.
And
Sonia Catalano.
I actually remember like skating against Curran Caples and Louis Lopez when I was a little kid at like King of the Groms and all those castle contests.
Because they didn't have like a girls division, right?
I think they might have, but sometimes there wasn't enough girls or something, so we'd just get thrown in the mix, which was fine, you know? It was still fun.
Yeah. So there wasn't any bad vibes? It was just like we're all skating?
I mean, there were some bad vibes, like the parents were still weird back then, but
yeah.
Other than that, I feel like all the kids were just having fun together. Definitely. Huh.
What was the first air you learned? Were you backside or frontside or?
Definitely frontside air.
Frontside air.
Yeah. And that's like my go-to. I'm definitely like frontside person.
Yeah, you got that one good. Did it take a while to backside?
Yes. I actually remember doing my first late grab backside air at Montclair Skate Park one day. Fuck, it's kind of hard to remember, like, when I learned tricks. Seems like so long ago now.
It is long, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key? Was there some, like, little switch that was like, oh, that's how you do it?
I think when I was learning late grab backside airs, there's the boys at the park that you should just do them perfect. Josh Rodriguez and this guy, Michael Brookman, they're like the two Top Dogs at the skate park when I would go back in the day, and I would just watch them do it. And I remember one day I was there with Michael, and it was like just us two. And I was like, okay, watch this. I'm going to do a leg grab backside air. And I remember just doing a bunch of like early grab ones, but trying to grab like just before the coping. And like, I remember feeling like I was trying to slow myself down and just like, I don't know if that even makes sense. Like, do the trick in slow motion. And I just kind of, it was a baby backside air, but I remember knowing the feeling of like, oh, that was definitely like not an early grab. And it was just, I kind of worked my way up, I guess, to that mm-hmm. point.
Backside airs are so, it's a scarier feeling for sure. Yeah. And holding it, getting your back foot to remain with, it's always been an issue for me.
It's like kind of hard because it's definitely more blindsided, you know? I feel like on frontside airs, I can just see everything.
Yeah, and then just put it down.
I've definitely like hung up on backside airs too, which is not fun. I remember being a kid and doing like meat airs, and one time I was going back in and I clipped my ankles on the deck and I just like fell in and knocked the wind out of myself. Oh, I was like kind of scared of backside airs for a while after that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And the way that, I mean, I'm no vert skater, but when people do it well and the backside air lands right below the coping, so you have as much tranny as you can to push for the next wall. So it is like a game of inches, kind of, and like you can just put it down a little early and get rung.
Yeah. It's also so scary to land so close to the coping.
Uh-huh. True or false, you were on the basketball team in high school?
True.
Really?
That's embarrassing. Yeah.
Why?
I'm like 4 feet tall. I don't know. But I played it anyway.
Did you have a good outside shot?
I don't know. Lizzie thought I was good. She came to my practices a couple of times and she said I was good at basketball, but I don't think I was very good. I played on the junior varsity team though.
Oh, wow. That's sick. When did you meet Lizzie? When did you guys meet?
I met her when I was 11.
Really?
And it was at a birthday party in Malibu at this backyard ramp. And she was like 14 or something.
And she was into skating and you were into skating and you guys just started talking?
Mm-hmm. Well, she was literally just learning how to skate. Like, we were skating an 8-foot ramp, but she was getting at the bottom of it, like, she could barely kick turn, honestly, when I met her. Which is crazy to think about, like, how far she's come along, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, the first time I met her, she was trying to ask me to teach her frontside airs.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, was Max with him?
No, she was with this other skater girl, or surfer girl, that she brought along.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why were you girls in, you and her were in San Francisco a lot, like, it's how I met you, actually. You guys were up here just all the time. What was that through Joe Fong, or was that, why were you guys up here so much?
So, if I'm remembering correctly, Lizzie met Joe somehow, and then I guess Joe also just knew who I was because of Lizzie, and he, you know, he wanted to help us out and said, like, yeah, you know, I'm old friends with the people who work at Independent Trucks, and, like, I want to take you guys around to all the skate parks up here and, like, introduce you to a couple of friends. So I just went with Lizzie one time to go visit SF, and then after that, like, Joe is actually, like, a close family friend now, and for a while we would go up every year and we loved it. Like, we made friends with a few of the locals at Potrero and, you know, the dudes at Double Rock and stuff. And so, yeah, SF was like a second home for us for a few years.
Yeah, super cool. Like, Lizzie to this day says Potrero is one of her favorite skate parks. You like it a lot too, right?
Yeah, it's so fun. It's like a treat every time I get to go there.
Yeah, and the Berkeley vert ramp's really good too.
Yes. So the Berkeley Vert Ramp has only gotten better, actually.
Yeah.
I really like that thing.
They keep just putting in the work. I don't know if you've been up in like a year, but they just put like a new, they took everything off and put some new studs under. They tightened it up. It's really good again.
I can't wait to go up again.
And so what was your first sponsor?
My first sponsor was this small company that came out of Montclair, and it was called Gridlock Skateboards. Mickey Alba actually rode for them, along with Josh Rodriguez and that guy Michael that I was talking about, and then a couple of other local dudes. I think Chris Russell and Patrick Ryan used to get some float boards from them too.
Really?
Yeah.
So have you known all those guys for a long time?
When I think about it, yeah. Since I was like 10.
Is it crazy to see them all like individually, like... Now Chris Russell is a pro skater, and like, oh, I knew him when I was 11, like all that stuff. Patrick Ryan, like, said Lizzie could barely even gyrate on a ramp, and now she's in the Olympics or whatever. It's like,
it is seriously so crazy to think about, like, where the time has gone. It feels like we were just kids yesterday, like fucking around at the skate park, and now like. Yeah, Lizzie's face of Vans. I see her goddamn picture at every fucking mall I go to. Chris Russell's amazing. Like, yeah, actually quite a lot of kids that I used to skate with. It's cool to see that they've actually made it, like, in this thing that we all love.
Yeah. What was the first box you got in the mail, like, when you got, like, some actual product sent to you?
I want to say it was probably a termite box. With like Grind King trucks and termite boards in it.
Do you remember like how many boards? Like, was it one set of trucks, two set of trucks? Like, what was it?
Dude, I don't remember.
Really?
Like 15 years ago.
Was it pretty impressed? Like, were you open up and you're like, holy shit, a bunch of free shit? Or was it like, damn, they could have sent me more?
Sure. No, I definitely remember being stoked with whatever I got. Honestly, it was probably like two or three boards and a set of trucks and like a bunch of the termite t-shirts and a ton of stickers for sure.
Mm.
I remember like, oh my God, having so many termite stickers. My mom probably still has like unopened packets of them somewhere.
Rad.
Yeah, no, definitely I was like happy. I wasn't like... They should have sent me more shit or something, you know?
Okay. Well, then comes, I think this is how I kind of like learned of who you guys were, was the Chili Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, you weren't at the first one, were you, like at Crocker?
No.
The Potrero ones were the first ones you went to, right?
Yeah, the one at Potrero.
Okay. How did that all go down?
Shoot, man, how old was I?
Probably Joe, right?
Yeah, I think the reason I heard about Chili Bowl is through Joe, for sure. And also, I did see the year before, it was also at Potrero. It must have been like Chili Bowl 7 or 8 or something, I don't know. But Mimi went one year, and so did my friend Evelyn and Leah. And I just remember seeing it on the internet somewhere and thought it looked fun. And so I think I had an idea of what the event was, but Joe was the one who was like, you guys should come out and skate the contest.
And what was that like? Was that you? Well, you were already, you were already skating contests, right?
Yeah.
But that was maybe the first one that you were skating. Did they have like a jam format where it was people skating at the same time?
Yeah. So they did have a jam format. It wasn't the first contest I skated in that had jam format, because like the Combi used to have that, and there's this other contest like Tim Broch or GVR. They would get really hectic, but yeah, I remember Chili Bowl being like one of the funnest contests ever because of the crowd. Like it's like no crowd that I've ever seen before. Everyone's just so stoked, and all the focus is just in that bowl. And everyone's having a good time. And it just felt so, like, raw and real, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like a backyard vibe, but in a park. And, like, everybody's just on the coping watching and, like, fucking nobody's, like, on their phone or looking away. Everyone's just like, this is what we're here for.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The entire deck was surrounded. And, like, so many people. I remember Lizzie and I actually, we, like, entered a fucking pot of chili in the chili eating contest or something.
Oh, you made some?
Yeah, but nobody liked it because we made it, like, vegetarian. And then Lizzie was getting a little weird with it, put, like, some small pieces of dark chocolate in there and, like, a hint of mango or something. And the dudes were definitely like, what is this? We want our, like, beef in the chili or some shit. I don't know. We got dead last, but it was fine.
There was always drama about who won. There was always like, that person shouldn't have won. No, like people.
For the chili making?
Yeah, for chili. People got super into it. It was awesome. Like, I remember people going, fuck this. Next year I'm winning this shit, this bullshit. Like, yeah, it was so funny.
I wonder if anyone was just like dumping cans of chili into a pot and saying, like, this is my chili.
I bet, yeah, probably. And I bet a winner happened that way, too. One time we went to Austin, Texas, they took the chili bowl to Austin. And this dude came out, a local, that was a super gnarly chili guy. Like, that's what he did. And he was just
gnarly chili guy.
Yeah, and he was, like, laying down the rules. He's like, all right, here's how you make chili. Nope, this doesn't count. Like, he had all his etiquette and everything and broke it all down for us. And we're just like, whoa, like he entered real chili contest, like real
fucking Chef Ramsay or something.
Yeah, it was like that. It was the craziest shit.
That's kind of funny.
Is that so? Did you meet Mimi at a chili bowl?
No, fuck, dude. When did I meet Mimi? I definitely met her at a contest, but it was also like I was super little. Like, it was probably the Soul Bowl, which was like the old U.S. Open, if you remember.
Yeah.
In Houston. And that or the Combi.
Mm.
Those two. But I met Mimi when I was 10 really? Or 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when did you start writing for Hoopla?
I think I must have been 14.
14.
Mm-hmm. Because I wrote for H Street for a couple of years after Termite.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of time with Tony Mag.
Really?
Yeah, he took me around skating in San Diego. And I met him because I rode for Osiris Shoes for like a few years when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And that was his company. And then he decided to rekindle H Street. And then I rode for that for a couple of years.
Whoa, sick. Did you go on any little trips or anything with those dudes on H Street?
No, not for H Street, but Tony had this little kids team for Osiris when I was younger, and it was me, Leticia Buffoni, Tyson Bowerbank, Shane Borland, and Jake Hill. And he took us, like, all around SF. We met up with Ron Allen and went to Berkeley Park and Alameda, like a ton of spots. And they took us out to like Woodward and all over California.
Did it have a name?
The kids team? No. Just Osiris.
Because remember, there wasn't there something called like 16 or something? Like it was all little kids?
I'm not sure.
I forget. Actually. Yeah, there was something though. I remember it was all, but it did have a name. Damn, I didn't know about that. So you were on Osiris and H Street. And then how did it go from going from there to Hoopla?
My first Vert X Games was like 08 or something. And I was at a practice one morning and Mimi, I remember her coming up to me after practice, and she said, "Hey, I know you have your little termite thing going on or whatever, or H Street, but I wanted to let you know that I'm starting a company, and it's called Hoopla, and I'd be really stoked if you rode for this company. It's me and Kara Beth." And I thought about it, and then I don't remember how much later I called Tony, but I remember I was in Seattle when it happened, but I was on the phone with him, and I told him that I wanted to ride for Hoopla and leave H Street. And that's what I did.
No way. Yeah. So you knew who Kara Beth was, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, because we were all skating against each other in X Games and stuff.
That's so crazy.
I know. It is crazy to think. I was so young, and I looked up to those people, you know?
Yeah, who were your early, like, influences? Like, who would you have any photos on your wall or anything? Like, who were you a fan of?
Growing up, so, like, for the women's skaters, I was obsessed with, obviously, Mimi and Kara Beth. But then I also really loved watching Lindsay Adams.
Oh, right.
Lindsay Adams Hoffman's skate vert, because she's, like, she was so good. She was doing kickflip indies and, like, spinning perfect McTwists. She could skate, like, the mega ramp and stuff.
Is she credited
with... This lady's insane.
Yeah. Is she credited with the first female 540?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think she did it at a big demo in, like, Paris or something.
Damn.
A big Tony Hawk demo. Right. It was, like, a perfect 540 McTwist. I can, like, see the clip in my head.
Uh-huh.
But then also... You know, growing up skating combi, I was around, like, Chris Miller, Christian Assoy, Steve Cabb, Lester Kasai. Like, all those dudes were my early influences. And, like, my dad showed me a couple of old H Street videos and, like, the old Bones Brigade videos. And so I was just really drawn to, like, old school street skating and a lot of old school vert and transition skateboarding.
And did you notice early on, like, the difference between somebody doing something properly versus some kind of ugly, like, how important style was? You know, like, if Chris Miller's skating, you're like, whoa, that's a lot prettier than Tony Magnuson, for example.
Oh, my goodness. They both have great style, honestly, I think. But I do remember, yes, like, those old vert videos definitely, like, put me on to style. Like, I would try to tweak my airs just like Chris Miller, his lean airs. I remember, like, trying to copy his exact line that I'd see him do in combi. And, like, he would do the nose grab leans, but I like to grab behind my foot, but I would still try to, like, I don't know, feel like I was looking like him, you know?
You got those.
But I don't know how well my judgment was of style, but I do remember, you know, seeing skateboarding and thinking, like, that looks cool. I'm going to try to do this trick exactly the way this guy did it, like, style and everything. Like, not just do it, just to fucking do the trick. You know?
Right. Well, that's the difference. Like, you know, when you do something, if you, like, you do a slob air, you could do it really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it really bad, you shouldn't do it. No, you do them good.
Slob airs? No. Trust me. You should see the ones Lizzie and I were doing a few weeks ago on her ramp, actually.
Yeah?
Terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying. If you're doing something, you want to do it right.
Definitely. There's a lot of tricks I didn't do because of that, for sure.
I still like the slob plant. I still love that one.
I still think you've shot the best slob plant photo of me.
Really?
And it was at Brighton's, like, long time ago, 5 years
where?
Ago. At Brighton's old ramp.
Oh, yeah. That ramp was so fun.
No, I miss it.
That one's, like, my size. I like...
You
I like,
ripped that thing.
Well, no, I didn't rip it, but, like, I could skate it.
I skated with you on that for... a few sessions,
and then we'd go to, like, DC ramp, and I'd be like, can I even drop it on this?
Yeah, that ramp was sketchy. It was slippery.
Yeah, it was hectic. I remember grinding it, and I was like throwing a personal party for myself. Like, I ground it.
Dude.
It was insane.
That thing's a beast.
How is Lizzie's ramp?
Oh, it's a good time.
Is it similar to Brighton's?
A little bit. I think I want to say Lizzie's ramp might be a little bit taller, but I'm not sure. It's a little bit, it's not as wide and there's no channel, but, it's pool coping on both sides and I love pool coping and I don't know. I think it's super cool on a mini vert ramp too, but you know, there's just enough flat bottom. So like you have enough time to think, it's not too, the walls don't come too quick.
And now another first impression with Elizabeth Marika Armanto.
I first met Alicia at Shane Borland's 10th birthday party, and he had a mini ramp in his backyard, and it was like a little bit bigger one, and it like almost went to vert, so it was like a good size. And Alicia was there and she was ripping, and I remember I asked her like how to do a frontside air, and she was just like kick, turn, grab, and jump. And so like back then, like I sucked, like I could not do, I was like not even close to doing a frontside air. And she, like her advice, I was like, yeah, you just kick, turn, grab, and jump. And eventually I figured it out. But I don't know, I just remember she was just like so good. And like, I don't know, she still has like the same flowy style. And I don't know, we're still good friends to this day. But that was the start of it.
Really excited to bring you this week's giveaway because it's a pretty big one. I'm excited. We got our new friends at Derby of San Francisco offering up your size in this current charcoal gray colored Derby jacket, just like the one I'm wearing. People love the Derby. It's a classic. It's legendary. It's like the Golden Gate Bridge, Levi's, sourdough bread, or It's. They are currently making a new color each month or so and pumping them out of San Francisco up on Haight Street. So you know I'm backing them. So here's how you do this. We're going to have a drawing. We're going to pick a winner out of a cup, out of a hat, whatever. All you have to do is email me, talkinschmidt@gmail.com. That's talkinschmidt@gmail.com with your name and jacket size and put, I want that Derby in the subject line. So that's your name, your jacket size. I want that Derby in the subject line. Hell, throw in the city and state you live in and email me talkinschmidt@gmail.com. I want to get a lot of people entering this one. This is like a $150 jacket. And I think they're going to throw in some stickers, a beanie, or, you know, we'll throw in a Talkin' Schmidt shirt too. You know, we'll juice it up for you. So come on, enter this contest. And in 2 weeks, I'll announce the winner. Derby of San Francisco. Kids, I got mine. It's time for you to get yours.
Hey, yo, what it is, though? It's the boy, Be Legit. San Quinn, Black Sea, Rich Rich. You know what I mean? I'm on the block where the sun up or sun down. A couple pounds on the clip for the 40 round. I hit the town like, where's that, what it do? You come through and get a few for the 32. 33, 34, there's still a go. And real niggas know the duffel bag by the dough. You can do the snow, but I'ma do the green. Real niggas on the team like the movie.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Do you think we're going to see a 540 from Axel?
Axel? Yeah.
He's
if
gonna...
he wanted to.
Is he skating it a lot?
Yeah. He likes to think that he's not a terrific transition skater, but he 100% is. Like, he looks good on a vert ramp.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he can just ride a skateboard wherever.
He's good at anything.
Yeah, it's so cool. Talk a little bit about the Hoopla experience, like skating on an all-girls team. What did that feel like? What were you guys like? You bonded with like a lot of those girls, right? And still have good relationships mm-hmm. with them. But like, was in the back of your mind, you're like, is there some weird feeling of like, I want to, like, I skated for 8th Street. That was different than this, or like, we're pioneering some new movement, or like, what was that whole thing?
I was so young that I didn't even really think about any of that stuff, to be honest. I remember when I grew up, there was this company that was also an all-girls team, and it was before I rode for Termite, but they were called, like, Cool Girls or something. It sounds lame now when I think about it, but... it was an all-girls team, and I was like, whoa, that's so cool. You know, like, there's no girls where I'm at. Like, that would be so sick if you had, like, a team of girls just skate together and, like, I don't know, travel around and whatnot. Mm. And so when Mimi asked me, like, I didn't even think, like, oh, but H Street, you know, it's, like, this company that's been around for a long time, and it's, like, a diverse team. I was just, like, right away, I thought the idea to skate for Mimi's company was cool. And I seriously didn't even think about it being an all-girls team or anything like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, looking back on it, I'm guessing it was super impactful for a lot of young girls. And obviously, since I've met you and Lizzie till today, female skateboarding has grown so much, right? Like, each year we would see it even just at the contest. Like, remember that girl could barely grind? Now she's got runs and shit. And like, I mean, you and Lizzie were a huge inspiration. Mimi was obviously like a huge inspiration with Carabeth and Jen. But I think Hoopla probably opened up a lot of doors to girls like, oh, this isn't just a dude thing. Like, I can go do this.
I think it definitely, it showed the world, like, hey, here's a group of girls and we can skate too. And so other companies, they weren't sponsoring girls at the time. And what Mimi and Carabeth did was, you know, they said, hey, like, these people don't want to make room for us. So we're just going to make our own space where we all feel comfortable and we feel like we're part of something. And I think that was something really cool that could be, you know, hopefully other people got that from when they saw Hoopla.
Yeah, and so then, like, something happened, probably the talent, I guess, is where you would like to think, but, like, Nora, you, Lizzie, I don't know the time frame, but at least within probably the same, about a year or something, you guys all kind of I don't want to disrespect Hoopla by saying legitimate, so that's not good. But you guys went to a team that was just like a co-ed, you know, it wasn't just girls. And Nora gets a board, Lizzie gets a board, you're on Creature. I'm sure I'm missing out on some other stuff, but it seemed interesting that it kind of happened around the same time. And then contest skating, like I said, I was going to the combi, but the other one on the beach, the U.S. Open.
Invitational, yeah.
Yeah, and the first year I went for the girls' division, I was like, whoa, this is going to be hard to make an edit. Because there was like three or four girls that were good. And then there was a lot of scratch grinds, right? And so you're like, whoa, this is going to be difficult. The next year, those girls that were like kind of just barely being able to drop in and get some scratch grinds were like, one of them was on the podium. I was like, what the fuck is going, like, it was insane. You know what I mean? and
so crazy.
Yeah, so I don't know, just watching all that and seeing it was like, and getting to know Mimi and you guys and everything and being a part of that was like, I don't know, for me it was really cool. It was like an eye-opening experience to be like, but I just wonder, like, in your mind, seeing people kind of not necessarily catch up to you, but like you're skating this far ahead of them and now all of a sudden you have more competition. Where's that from? Why?
I don't know where the progression came from, but I'm not going to complain about it because it was good for all of us, you know? And, you know, it for the longest time, I was competing against the same 7 or 8 people, girls, for the longest time. Yeah, and, you know, when all these new people pop up and they're bringing new stuff to the table, it's going to push everyone who is already skating to, like, step up their game because if you have the same 8 people in a contest for years, after a while, like, I don't know, there's no progression. We're not pushing each other as much. There's like nothing new. And so it just gets like repetitive, it almost seemed like. But then, you know, there's a new flood of skaters coming in and there's all these new styles and, you know, things people haven't seen before. And I think like, yeah, it helped, you know, the older generation say like, whoa, hey, like, okay, people are going to start giving us a run for our money or something. Like, we better step up our game. And it just pushed skateboarding in general.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
Who were some of the ones? Like Alana, right?
Oh, yeah. Alana is the big one.
Uh-huh. Who are some, I guess, Brighton? There was like the young, there was a new generation, like, the next one up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, oh.
and skateboarding, you know, it grew all over the world too. Now we have people from Japan and Brazil and Europe that are all like fucked up amazing. Like,
shout
it's
out
so
to Kokona. Holy shit. Yes. The first time I saw her at the combi, I was like, no way, this is not
like
real.
Tripping out.
Like, actually, nose grinding the corner every time, and you're like, perfect. Wait, she's that's like 11 like, or something.
She looks like she's like 9.
Yeah,
she's so little.
Uh-huh.
I met her in 2016 when I went to Japan with Creature, and she was ripping around like the pool and stuff. And even in just like, you know, 2 years later, she was competing with us. And I was like, whoa, mind blown.
Oh, like, man.
The amount she progressed was insane in a year and a half, 2 years that I had met.
And that girl that Lizzie brought up here last time from Japan.
Yeah, Mommy.
Mommy. She came up. We skated Lower Bobs. We went and skated a bunch of places. And then she did the, at Petrero, she jumped up onto the fence and back in. Yes. And I'm just like, that. Holy shit. And then like, less than a month later, probably, she's sponsored by Blood Wizard. And yes, those are my homies. And
such
and,
a sick match.
Yeah, I was like, that rules.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Mommy is awesome. I love her style, and she's the sweetest human ever.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, she rips on a skateboard. Like, she just, her shell opens, and she's amazing.
Yeah, it's insane. Can we talk a little bit about, like, when you quit Hoopla? Like, you got your own board. They got they gave you a pro model, and right around that time, you were kind of thinking about riding for Creature, and it kind of happened in that same time. That must have been really difficult.
That was really, really difficult. That might have been, one of the harder decisions that I've had in my life. But just because I love Mimi and Carabeth so much, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so there was a session at Prince Park one day. Mimi said something like, hey, we're all just going to meet at the park and like have a Hoopla Day session. And then Lizzie actually drove me to the park, and she knew all about it. I had no idea. But that day, you know, all of a sudden, Mimi told everyone to get together for a group photo. And then she handed out all these boards, and all of us are like holding it like, oh, okay. And then I don't know, she gave me, Alana, and Samaria a few boards, and then we like I saw Samaria looking at hers and then Alana looking at her board, and then I looked at mine and it was like our pro model graphics, and I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, I honestly, I didn't even know what it meant. Like, I was just like confused and surprised, happy at the same time. And then yeah, I remember riding my board for like a week or so, and then I decided to leave for Creature because I felt like I didn't deserve to have my name on a board, I suppose.
Hmm.
I don't know, yeah. When I think about it now, it all felt like it happened so fast almost. And I remember, I don't know, feeling like I just wanted to move on from Hoopla, you know? Like, I appreciated everything they did for me. And I was so scared to tell Mimi that I sent her, like, an email. And then she called me, and then I was, like, put the phone on speaker and was, like, fucking shaking. So I was so scared.
I bet.
But the conversation was good, you know? She respected my choice and everything. Mm. I'm sure she was a little, you know, she probably was a little confused or taken back by it. And
well, she's probably bummed, but she's stoked for you.
Right. I wish I waited a little longer, but you know, it all happened how it did.
Uh-huh.
I can't change it now. But when I did call Darren, I was even more nervous for that phone call. I was like terrified. I was like, Darren, I'm in this situation, like, I'm riding for Hoopla, they just gave me a board, I don't want a board, please sponsor me for Creature? And I was like, had to do the same thing where I put the phone on speaker and, like, set it down. I couldn't even hold my phone, like, I was shaking. And then he's like, okay, I'll talk to the people at Creature. And the first thing I did was I went to my shop sponsor and got a Creature board and started skating one.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
What's Darren's nickname for you?
Dive Bomber.
Dive Bomber? Because
yeah.
Air?
There might be a couple. Yeah, I don't know. He said something about the way I do indie airs.
Uh-huh.
He says I dive straight down and into them. I don't see it, but what he calls me.
Did he come up with Medusa for Lizzie?
Medusa? I don't remember. It was him or Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What about the... there was an all-girls trip for Thrasher.
Oh, yeah. NHS trip. That was...
How'd that go?
It was fun. We went to Arizona... And who are we with? Rhino, Gavin, Dan Stolling all came in the van. And it was like me, Lizzie, Brighton, Nora, Nicole, and Injiara, Samaria, and Leo. And we just went all around Tucson and Phoenix. And honestly, it was like a really sick-ass trip.
Really?
Yeah, we met up with, like, Cody Long out there, and then he was filming with us at spots and everything.
Had you met Rhino before that?
Yeah, I have met Rhino before that, but I didn't know him too well. So that was the first trip I actually, you know, really hung out with him.
Okay, he's solid. He holds it down. Lizzie asked me to ask you about the blunt to fakie bet.
What?
I don't know what it is.
Blunt to fakie bet.
Is there a blunt to fakie bet you and her have, maybe?
There was one that went down when I was fucking 15. It was a long time ago. If I'm thinking about the thing she's thinking about.
Maybe.
I don't really remember what the actual bet was, though.
Mm.
Except, like, okay. I don't remember what I won, is what I mean.
But oh, you won.
The bet was like, can I do a blunt to fakie first try on the big mini ramp at Vans? I hadn't done a blunt to fakie in like 2 years. And that ramp, it's like, it's a mini ramp, but it's like 5 or 6 feet tall. So it's still like not super, super tiny. But I was like, yeah, I think I could do it. And I just went up and did one. And it, no grab or anything. So it was like a no-handed one figgy. But that trick is terrifying to me. Like,
yeah.
I did it growing up for a little bit, but I was never comfortable enough to just do it all the time. I wish I was, though. But yeah, I won, and I remember Lizzie was freaking out because I did a bunch of fakey, and yeah, it'd been a while.
How cool.
She probably had to buy me like boba tea or something.
Boba tea is my guess. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. You know what we need to do is we need to get the both of you back up here, and we need to refilm that doubles at Berkeley where she, like, I think
where
her head
scraped her butt.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I think I would try for a lot more now.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. The ramps, like I said, the ramp's a lot faster now, too. You probably got an extra foot for... I mean, you guys probably have progressed anyway, but I'm just saying, like, the ramp is fast now. It's so solid and good.
What did she even do over me? Like a lean air?
A stale fish, I think. Yeah, because she was, like, it was front side, and you were coming... You might have done a fake... I forget what you did.
I was doing, I think...
Something
I'm pretty
to
sure
fake
I was
you,
doing,
maybe?
I think I was doing a body burial.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or that body is, burial faster, maybe?
No, body burial. It is what you were doing. And then what is manga?
Manga? It's like the graphic novels for Japanese anime.
Oh, you're really into that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she said to ask you about manga, and I was like, I don't even know what manga is. My niece is really into that, actually. She's like, wants to go to Japan, like, so bad, and really into the graphic anime. Yep.
I mean, I back that. Japan's the best place ever. But
is that your favorite spot?
Probably. Like, when I'm old, I would like to die in a big bowl of ramen there or something. But yeah, I started, like, actually collecting manga maybe like 2 years ago now. Before that, I would just read it online sometimes, and just because it was free. And actually, like, my little sister is super into shit. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It's all good. Okay.
But I have a lot of books here.
Oh, sick.
And more over here. It's hard. My shelves are, like, messy. But behind here is, like, every volume of Naruto. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. Naruto is, like, the really popular anime. And it's about ninjas, pretty much. But there's 73 volumes. I have them all, and I read them all.
Is it violent?
No. It's for, like... there is, like, action in it. Like, people are fighting and stuff. But I wouldn't say it's, like, too violent for kids. Although I do really, really enjoy, like, adult anime and manga that's, like, gory and erotic. And
oh, really?
Like, I have gnarly ones that are for adults only.
You gotta show your ID to buy them?
No, I don't, but they're not from, like... a sex shop or something.
What's the fastest you've ever put in a Rubik's Cube together in?
A minute, maybe.
What?
I'm not very fast at it.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Is there a pattern?
Yeah. So when I was 10 years old, I got a Rubik's Cube, and it came with, like, instructions in the box. And I literally memorized the instructions. It took me a week to solve a Rubik's Cube for the first time, but I taught myself when I was 10, and then after that I like brought it around everywhere with me. Like, every day I had it at school, I would solve it under my desk, like under the table. And eventually I would watch YouTube videos to try to see, like, if there are faster ways to, like, solve it, but I never really improved that much.
What's the key?
The key?
Yeah, like what tips can you give me? I've never even solved one before.
So I solve it by like, here, I'll show you. I actually have them here.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I know. I have like all of them. Look.
Oh, I've never seen the four one.
That one's the four one. I haven't done that one before.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but anyways, so I always solve, like, the bottom layer first. And then, so I usually solve the green side. And then I do the middle layer and then the top. So bottom to top.
So you do one side.
I have terrible advice.
You do one side, it's all green. And then you get the middle section done, and then the top's done when that happens?
Yep, the top done is last. The top gets done last.
All right, I'm buying a Rubik's Cube. This is my new COVID, what'd you do during the pandemic? I figured out how to do the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. For some reason, I used to think like, oh, like a lot of people can solve the Rubik's Cube. It's not that impressive. But then, I don't know, people started telling me, like, no, you're crazy. Like, no one can do the Rubik's Cube.
I don't know anyone.
Dude, I thought it was, like, a common thing.
And when you're, like, a minute and that's slow, I was just like, what?
It is slow, dude. People, there was one time during quarantine, actually, I posted a video of me solving, like, three Rubik's Cubes. But the first one, I did it normal. The second one... And third one, I did like a pattern on the end of it. So like this one, it has all the middle.
Yeah.
Like squares, a different color. But anyways, It was like 6 minutes long, the whole video. And people were like, it's not that fast though. Or like, no, it was like really slow. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be the fastest. I just was showing you something I was doing during quarantine. Yeah, there's kids who can solve it in like 10 seconds.
No way.
Yeah, look it up. They're crazy.
All right, I'm going to...
know some real shortcuts and algorithms.
I'm looking it up, and I'm going to buy one after this interview.
Yes.
And my goal is by the next episode, I'll be able to have solved it. I'm giving myself 1 week. I should be able to do it in 1 week, right?
Yeah, if I did it at fucking 10, you could do it for sure.
Oh, man. Are you working on any new tricks right now? Is there anything that you hope to... Do you have a 540 in you? Is that like a goal?
Yeah. I want to say that I would like to do a 540 one day, but I'm not sure. Like, I haven't thought about it in a while. I haven't been, like, eagerly thinking of...
Have you tried them?
The last time I tried a five, I was a teenager and I was at Woodward and I spun them into the foam pit.
Would you do it backside or mute?
I was doing a flat spin mute grabs.
Oh, but just like off a launch into the foam?
Mm-hmm. So like the corner of the vert ramp and then into the foam pit.
What does it feel like? Is it scary as shit or does it seem like if I actually put some effort into this, I could get it?
I think at the time I thought like, yeah, if I keep doing it, I could probably put it down onto the resi, which is like, you know, that big plastic thing that they have next to vert ramps.
Yeah.
More like a bank. But I don't know. There were also a couple of times where I was spinning the five and for some reason I would like clip the deck or like, but the deck was foam deck, so it didn't hurt, but I know that it would hurt if like,
yeah,
it wasn't that, but yeah, that's, I don't know. Never felt super confident in it.
That's what happens to me on inverts, shins to the coping. It's the worst.
I've gotten close to doing that too. Oh my God. That makes me think of the hang up on my mute air that I did a long time ago.
Oh.
Sucked.
Do you know about the mute air and its new name?
Yeah. I was actually just trying to think of what it was called.
It's like called Weddle? The Weddle Grab.
Weddle Grab, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's only for Tony Hawk's video game or if that's for, like, everything.
Like,
does he get to rename it? Tony Hawk gets to rename a trick?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I feel like I'm still used to calling it a mute grab, but I can see how, you know, with the guy who invented the trick, like, he doesn't want it to be called that.
Yeah.
He said what, like,
he's deaf. He's deaf, not mute. Yeah. And I was talking to Frankie Hill because he's really well known for grabbing like that. And he's like, dude, the guy invented it. If he wants to change the name, it's his to change.
He should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Yeah. Because at first I was like, is this part of 2020? Are we just like politically correcting everything for the Olympics? Yeah. Like, what's going on? But then as I thought more about it, I was like, yeah, it's like if Rodney Mullen wants to like change the kickflip to the Mullen flip, I don't know. Maybe he can do that if he invented it.
Just might take a while for people to like
get in their vocabulary. Yeah, exactly. All right, we're winding down. I got a couple things. I'm wondering if you can share with us your creepiest or most bizarre DMs. I know you must get some like really fucked up DMs.
Oh my God. The creepiest? What, should I just send it to you?
Or can you share it with us?
It's like gnarly. How do I, what, share it with
my No, just screen? Like say like the gist of it or something. Like somebody.
There's this one. The first one that pops into my mind is actually this message that I got sent on Tumblr, if you remember what that app is.
Yeah.
This was years ago now, but someone is basically telling me, I need to say it in the like least dirty way possible. He basically was telling me that I looked like this porn star. I forget the porn star's name. But he was like, then proceeded to list all the things that he would like to see me do or would want to do to me. And then he said, like, yeah, can't wait to see you come out with, like, your own video or something like that. I don't know. It was, like, really disgusting and disturbing. And I was just like, what the fuck? Pretty sure I'd, like, just turned 18 or something at the time. Maybe I wasn't even 18. I don't know. It was crazy though.
How do you deal with social media? Like, you got a lot of followers, obviously a lot of those you've probably never met in real life and stuff. And I'm just wondering, like, as far as like DMs and all that stuff, like, how do you monitor it all?
I actually usually don't respond to people. Like, sometimes people will ask, you know, it's a simple question or something, I'll respond. But even sometimes with those, I just don't, you know, hit them back up sometimes because it opens up, you know, they try to have a full conversation and then I don't ever keep that one up. So
right.
Sometimes I just don't respond to people.
Okay.
Especially not the fucked up creepy DMs. I never ever respond to them.
Do you have a little text group, like a group of your close friends that you share like wacky shit with, like, look
yeah,
at what
sure.
I got here? Yeah,
I have like several of those.
Uh-huh.
We all get those messages for sure. And you know, we have like all of our side Instagram accounts too where we'll like share like creepy DMs.
Right.
So it's kind of funny, yeah, to see what everyone gets. But
oh my God.
Dude, people have no shame behind a computer screen.
Yeah.
One time a dude was like, I'm old and married, but you are my fantasy or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like in high school.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. It's crazy. This world is nuts. Oh yeah, Dickies. We gotta plug Dickies. They've been really good to you.
Yeah, thank you, Dickies.
You're going on a lot of trips. I seen you modeling their gear and stuff. You got a doubles photo with my boy Ronnie Sandoval in the mag.
Yeah.
That hyped me out so much.
I love that photo.
Ronnie's the best.
Yeah, that was totally unexpected too. He was just like, hey, do a slop plant right there or something, and or do a front side here right there. And I was like, why? He's like, just do it. And I was like, okay. And then he just, he didn't even tell me. He's just like, I'm going over you. And I was like, what the hell, dude? But I trust him anyway, so.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah. Are you working on anything? Or do you have any pressure to like put out a full Alicia video part? Or do you just go on trips and get footage for like more of team videos and stuff? Like what's the vibe there?
So I'm pretty sure Dickie's is thinking about coming out with a full length. And I know Joe wants to film with me and stuff. He's put together like a teaser of a bunch of footage that he's gotten of all of us over the years, but I definitely need more footage for that. And I don't know, it just depends on when we can make a meet up and make it happen. Mm-hmm. But there's also like, I know Creature and NHS wants me to put out a part for Amelia Brodka's exposure contest. Oh. But they also want me to do like a real part for them too, which I've been trying to get footage for. But I honestly feel like 2020 has been a little bit hard, you know, stuff slowed down a little bit.
Absolutely.
So
can I interfere as your make-believe agent? I feel like you need to pick one and tell everybody and be like, I'm gonna just make one part that's my best part.
I was thinking about that too. To be honest.
Like when Lizzie did the Thrasher and the Birdhouse video, like in the same year, it's just like, it's too hard. You gotta like, and like knowing like, okay, today I'm filming for this, tomorrow I'm filming for that. No, I'm just filming and the best shit is going to make my best part.
I honestly think.
Because it'll represent everybody that sponsors you. Like if it's a Dickies part, but it's still you, Creature benefits. It's like, look at our girl out there ripping for Dickies, you know, like whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not trying to like get you fired though.
No. See, my issue is like, I think I always try to please everyone. And
yeah, we all do.
Like quite a few people have been really pushing me to film a part for that exposure contest. And I actually, you know, Dickies is sponsoring it now. NHS or Creature is sponsoring it. So it would be good if I made a video for it. But, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, if I do put out a part for exposure, I want to film it all on Lizzie's ramp. And if I get really good things, I'm not putting it in there. Because, you know, in the end, it's a online contest. It's not like something I'd put a real video part out for. Not to make it sound in like, not to invalidate the event or anything. Like, it's awesome that something's going on to, you know, shine light on skateboarding at this time.
Is that coming up?
Yeah, the deadline is November 15th. Oh. But, yeah. Anyways, there's definitely been a lot of projects that have been thrown at me, and I've felt super overwhelmed that I've, like, done nothing. It's kind of crazy. Like, I have stuff I need to be working on, but, yeah. You're right, there is a lot, and I need to just focus on one thing.
And, like, right now, I don't know, trips aren't that, like, people aren't really, I mean, some people are, but there's not a lot of trips happening right now, and those are when you're most productive, because you're skating, like, every day, and that's the purpose, and there's no distractions, and so it just makes more sense.
Well, you'll figure it out. Yeah, it's like, a trip, you know?
Absolutely. When is that exposure contest?
So the deadline is November 15th, and everyone just has this next month or so to film whatever.
And then there's an actual contest?
It's a, so it's like an online video contest, I guess.
People vote?
No, there's still judges for it. So I think like Alex White is a judge, and maybe Vanessa or whoever was judging last year's event, but it's just all done online, I think, now. Like, people will submit videos, and I don't know if they'll all be shared, or I think this is how it's happening. I don't think it's like a public voting
contest,
though. But there is a street and transition separate categories.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll look for that. I've never been to the, I want to go to the jam or the whatever it is. They have the annual exposure thing, right?
Yeah, you've never been?
Uh-uh. For some reason, I think it's always on, like, the date is always, like, there's something else going on at that same time. I don't remember.
Wait, you've never filmed, like, at the exposure contest, like, in Encinitas?
No.
Why have I thought that you were there?
I know. I was going to go a few different years, and I think something always, like, I had to do something else instead. But right. If you give me an excuse to go down to Leucadia, Oceanside, that area, I love it. Like, I don't really like L.A., like, that area, but I love, like, what do they call that, North County?
Yep, North County, San Diego.
It's my favorite.
Come down.
I'm coming down next week for this Navarette thing me and Darren are
going
to do.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah.
On Tuesday? It's low-key, though, right?
Yeah. Are you going to go?
I think I'm going to go.
Yes.
So I might see you.
No,
I don't know if I'll skate.
Oh, okay.
Because that ramp is, like, fucked up,
it is.
Dude.
That's what everyone says. That sucks.
It's, like, so gnarly. Honestly, you remember, like, years ago, I did, like, a one-footed invert on that thing, and you filmed Lizzie saying, yeah. Like, I want to see her do that.
Yeah.
I want to see her do a one-footed invert.
I have no idea how the fuck I did that on that ramp, because... it's like so gnarly now.
Uh-huh.
I think, yeah, it's just weathered a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on for you? How are you dealing with this COVID times, this pandemic? Like, what's a day in, what are you guys doing down there? Are you still just getting out and treating it normal, or is there precautions? No.
So the first few months, I was like, I did not leave the house hardly. I didn't even skate for like 2.5 months because I was like, well, I'm not supposed to go to the skate park, you know? So I just would like stay home in Oceanside or visit my family for like a day or two and just stay inside. I was reading a lot, watching a lot of anime and Netflix. And then I don't know. I started feeling like, fuck, okay, I need to skate. And so, you know, Tony, he actually had a demo, like an online demo.
Oh, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. And a best trick contest. And that kind of kept me busy for like a month or so because, you know, I was practicing for the demo and then he hit us all up with the best trick contest. So I practiced for a couple of weeks for that and then filmed for it. And then... I did a campaign with Dickies a couple months ago. So there's been stuff that I've had to do, which is nice. Like, I've stayed busy.
Are you still in school?
No, I stopped going to school a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
I thought about going back, though. Like, this quarantine, I was like, fuck, I should at least do online classes. But... So I actually got in contact with an academic advisor and we were like, yeah, okay, we're going to send you the readmission process. And then I didn't email them back.
Oh, man. It's probably a little easier. Well, for me, it would be easier going online.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of my whole struggle is just going there and being in a class with all these bozos and like, I don't know, like learning at other people's speeds has always been a problem for me. Like I like to just learn at my speeds. That's why almost everything I do, I try to just have a one-on-one experience so we can like either I'm struggling or I'm going faster, but like we're not at this like in-between stage.
Right.
So the online thing seems like it would be cool.
Yeah, I thought about it, but it didn't happen.
You had any gnarly hangovers lately?
Oh my god. Yes. Wait, did Lizzie tell you this too?
She said there was rumor it was a 12-hour food poisoning, but she thinks it was a hangover. Holy shit, I just got a text message. Eddie Van Halen died.
What?
Yeah, you know who he is, right?
Yeah, who just told you that?
Aaron Meza. Actually, I just got 3 texts. I'll drop some names right here on the show. Dan Drohobel.
Shout out.
Aaron Meza.
Shout out.
And Tim McKinney.
Shout
out. Did they actually know him?
No, but I guess it's just like in the news.
That's crazy.
People be dropping.
Actually, yeah, I just looked it up. He died like 45 minutes ago. Or, I mean, that's when they put it out. This year is fucked.
Yeah. Oh, it's. Do you think I was asking my dentist the other day, do you think there's anybody in the world that is like, holy shit, 2020, best year of my life?
God, I don't know.
I mean, even if you had a kid or got married this year, it's still just like probably like, that was cool, but this year sucked.
Yeah, it sucks. 2020 is the year of the rat, too, and, like, I was born year of the rat, and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thought it was going to be my year, man, but this is the worst year yet.
Might be. Oh, man. What was the question I asked you right before you bailed?
You were asking if I've had any terrible hangovers
lately. Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you guys go hard?
Dude, we didn't even go that hard. Lizzie and I, we went out for like a fancy dinner for whatever reason. Sometimes we just like to like go eat fancy food or whatever. And then she had like a couple glasses of rosé. And then I had some cocktail with mezcal in it. And then after that, she's like, I think Axel was out of town and she's like, yeah, I'm down to hang out if you want. So we went back to her house, and then she was like, I have moonshine. And I was like, ew, like, you don't want to stop at the store? She's like, no, I think it'll be good. I have moonshine and, like, lemonade, and, like, we can just drink that. And I was like, dude, okay, whatever. And Lizzie doesn't ever drink, so I was just going to let her decide, because it was like, if she's going to drink, she's obviously like making a point to like, she's really choosing to, and this is what she's gonna have, so I'll just go along with it. We had like another two drinks at her house of this fucking moonshine that was like so gnarly, and we might have passed out around like 1, and then I woke up at 4 in the morning and was like dying. I felt like shit. I was puking for like a few hours after that, or I had to actually throw up like once, and then I was just dry heaving and felt awful for like the next 5 hours. Actually, no, it was the next like 12 hours. I had a hangover that lasted over 12 hours, and she thinks it's food poisoning because we had like the same food or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. It felt like I had a bug in my stomach. And you know what's fucked is we both had Zoom calls in the morning. Like I had a Dickies meeting, and then Lizzie had like a big Vans meeting. And she had to be like, she was almost going to postpone it, but we both went on like our calls and were dying. Luckily, like the Dickies one is super mellow. I could just like hide and I could let them know like I'm fucking hungover, you guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. But Lizzie's like all with this important Vans people and stuff. I felt bad. She had to actually like use her brain.
Yeah. Fuck. I don't miss those. I haven't drank in like four years maybe. I haven't drank. I did not like the hangovers. Good. Yeah. The hangovers were really starting to get to me pretty bad at the end. So I was just like, peace.
Yeah. I've had a few hangovers during quarantine, but it's fine, I guess.
You watch any good shows? Anything on Netflix or anything like to, I don't know, have indoor time?
Yeah. What did I just watch? I just finished the new season of this show called Wentworth. It's a show I've been watching since I was in high school. They just put out like the 8th season on Netflix.
Oh.
But it's basically the Australian version of Orange is the New Black, if you know
really?
That show.
Yeah, we watched that.
Mm-hmm, but it is like 100 times better.
Really?
Like Orange is the New Black is so like, the first couple seasons were okay.
Yeah,
it got really like corny.
Yeah, we stopped watching it after season 3.
Mm-hmm. Wentworth is 100 times better. It's like gnarly and gory and like real shit goes on and the actors are sick.
Is it Australian? Like they have accents? I'm down. I'll check it out. It's on Netflix?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you should check it out.
We've been watching that show, The Chi.
Like,
yeah, it's kind of like The Wire. It's like kids in Chicago gangs a little bit, and like older generations versus and bringing the kids in, and it's pretty cool so far. We watched one season so far. I think there's three.
And then, it's on Netflix too?
No, I don't think so. I forget what. It might be on FX or something. I'm not sure what it's on. But me and my fiance were watching a documentary like almost every night. We watched like at least 50 documentaries like the first 2 months. And it was like,
you have all this new knowledge now?
Yeah, it was kind of like a cool way to look at the whole thing. Like, okay, we're going to be stuck indoors, but we're like learning so much stuff about cool little things. But then that's you awesome. Start getting into ones that aren't that cool. And then you're like, they got to make more.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. send me some good documentaries.
I will. I'll send you the list of the ones that, cause I wrote down all the ones that we were watching, and I'll highlight there's this one, I forget what it's called, but they steal a fucking submarine. It's so sick.
What the fuck?
That yeah. Is, and then like I've been the watching hell of those like,
ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then I've been watching a lot of like those true crime things where like there's like, I don't know, there's one on Netflix that just came out where like the dude killed his wife and kids, and then the neighbors.
I actually know that story because I was like a year ago, I was going through YouTube and I was watching this BuzzFeed documentary about that guy, that family.
It's so gnarly. And they have all the footage.
Do you think I should watch that one? Because I know the whole story.
If it doesn't freak you out, like my fiance, she gets a little freaked out sometimes. Like if you watch it right before bed, like you'll have bad dreams. But like it's pretty gnarly. But like it kept my attention. Like because they have video of everything. Because like they go into the police station and then there's those video cameras that are filming. So they have all the footage. And to me, that always makes it seem so much more real. Like, there's no enacting. It's just actual footage. So it's like, I don't know.
Definitely makes it more scary.
And they have the footage of, like, when the cops come to his house and they're questioning him, and he's lying to them at first.
You can tell he's like, lying, can't you? Like,
yeah.
His face, like, looked too calm sometimes when he was, like, talking about his family being gone, like, you just knew, like, he was lying right away.
And then his neighbor comes over to the cops, and this is all on video. He's like, he's acting different. He's up to something. Like, he's all whispering to the cop, like, this guy's up to some shit. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, shit. I think I'll have to watch that. Maybe I'll watch that, like, today at some
point. Yeah, check it out. Maybe give yourself like an hour or two to unwind before bed after you watch it, though, so you don't just go right into dreams of like, whoa.
I'll watch it while there's still light out.
Hell yeah. But,
I'm sure there's like footage I haven't seen before then, if they have, you know, actual real footage.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's pretty, I mean, those ones, there's one where like some lady like locked this dude up to a time bomb, and then the dude exploded in the middle of the street, and the cops thought he was lying, but there's actual footage
that's
of the
so
dude
fucked.
I'm just like, how? Yeah, there's crazy shit. It's like, that's the thing with the modern technology, is everything's being filmed, so now every horrible thing that happens is documented, and you're like, oh, they're gonna make a show out of this.
That neck time bomb thing is like some Saw shit. You know,
it's,
those movies.
Yeah,
we were like obsessed with.
They showed the guy blowing up. What the fuck? It's so crazy.
Scary as fuck.
How do I reach more ladies, or do I just not even care about it? My podcast is like a sausage fest. It's like all dudes. If you look at the pie chart, it's like 80% dudes listening. I'm like, I want more girls. I want it more even, you know, but I don't know. Should I just not even care, or should I do? Is there something I can do to bring a little diversity to my view, listening?
Have you interviewed any like LGBT, any of that scene or community at all. Because I know that
I reached out to Cher Strawbear, and Cher said, I think Cher was a little busy, but I put out feelers to a lot of people. I think Leo, yeah, but I'm down for sure.
Yeah, because I do think the, you know, the women's side of the community, they definitely, especially like the new girls who, you know, they're just getting into skating, I feel like a lot of them hang out or look at the queer and women's skate scene. Right. So maybe if you had a couple of those guests on the show, it'd be, maybe it'll bring more light from women or females and stuff.
Yeah, I had Alex White on, and I talked to her a little bit about it, and
you had Alex and Mimi.
Yep. Nicole's been on, Lizzie's been on.
Nicole's on too?
Yeah. Nicole, like, I think when she won the combi, or didn't she win the combi?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and then I interviewed her at the parking lot.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was sick. Yeah, I'm down. Like, I reach out to Nora, and I think Vanessa's moving, but after she moves, I'm going to...
Where's she moving? Oh, I should give her a phone call, actually.
I think she's over Long Beach or something. She's moving somewhere north.
Yeah, she was in L.A. for a while, and then she's been in Long Beach the last couple years, but...
She's rad. I don't know if Alana doesn't maybe want to do one, but I've reached out to her. I think Alana would be so sick. I love Alana.
Mm-hmm.
She's a shit.
Yeah, you should definitely try to get Alana on there. What about, like, Samaria?
Yeah, Samaria, too. I think Samaria is kind of a little evasive, too. Like, I don't know. But, yeah,
Sheezy would be cool. Shanae.
Oh, is she in... Where does she live?
Australia, but I know she would love to just do like this kind of thing.
She has my grip. She has my grip tape. She sends me photos of she has the fuck yeah grip tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's is awesome. She'd be like really good for the show actually because she's pretty fucking funny.
Okay. Is she dating Jake Duncombe?
No, that's Izzy.
Oh, Izzy. Yes. Okay, that I'm mixing them up. Who's the one you're talking about?
Shanae Collins. She's also from Australia, and she rides for Welcome and Crux. She had that Crux ad where she's doing like a fake yolly on that bridge thing.
Oh, okay.
Talking about.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll put out some feelers, and it'd be cool if I can see you next week.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
IRL, as the kids say, in real life.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I had to think about that for a second.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's on Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go down Monday, spend the night, be there all day Tuesday, and then probably go home Wednesday, I think. I might try to stop by Lizzie's and skate a little on the way back or something.
You should.
I would like to try to do something like that. I just been boxed up living in an apartment in San Francisco. These times are kind of tough, but I will have to say that my fiance's parents just got us kayaks, and we live across the street from the bay. So we just took them out for a spin for the first time, and it opened up a whole new world. I'm so hyped.
That's cool. Hell yeah.
Because you need exercise, and running with a mask on is just, it's hard, you know, it sucks.
I feel like running sucks in general already.
Yeah, or skate, yeah, but just anything, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. You got a good fucking tune to throw on as we head out of here?
Yeah, I think there was a few that I was thinking about, but I think I will pick Give Up the Funk by Parliament. You know that song?
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. You sure you don't want to do a Van Halen song to tribute to Eddie? I'm just kidding.
That's okay, unless you want to.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, thanks for taking the time. I'm stoked that we got to finally do this.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
And good to catch up.
Yeah, I know. It was good.
Is there any chance you guys can come up here?
I feel like I have time to go up there, yeah. I mean, I could see if Lizzie would want to go. That would be pretty sick.
Yeah, let me know if
something. I could be so into that. I haven't gone anywhere this year, so.
I know, me too. I'm kind of going stir crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I agree. Thanks, Schmitty. Probably see you next week on Tuesday.
I hope so. I'm going to go to Taiwan on. That's the only plan I have besides going to Ramona. I love Taiwan on.
That place is amazing. I have not been there actually in quite a while.
I remember we went there for Lizzie's birthday, and ever since I've just been like, oh, I go there every time I go to, where is it? In Vista, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Vista.
Okay. Well, cool. Hopefully I'll see you next week, and I'll be talking to you. If you guys come up this way, that'd be awesome as well.
Yeah, sounds good. I guess we'll talk soon.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Tether off, we're gonna tether off the mother sucker. Tether off the sucker. Tether off, we're gonna tether off the mother sucker. Tether off the sucker. Tether off, we're gonna tether off the mother sucker.
We gotta have the bump. La la la. Let us and we'll turn this mother out. Out.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at TalkingSchmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at TalkingSchmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa. This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.